Good morning, church. Man, I'm so honored to bring you the word this morning. You look good, whether you are here at NRH, Keller, West Fort Worth, our Dallas location, or watching online anywhere around the world. Thank you for worshiping with us. We are better together, and we just hope and pray that the Spirit of God will be with all of us as we enter His Word. If you've been a part of our church for the last few weeks, you know we've been in a series called It's Good to Hear Your Voice. And Pastor Rick has taken us really throughout all the scriptures, and he's taught us the importance of hearing the voice of God. And for a lot of us, we needed to even learn how to hear the voice of God. Well, we are taking a break from that series, but not from that reality. God is going to speak to us today. And I want to thank Rick, Pastor Rick, for entrusting me and empowering me to bring you the message for the next 2 weeks from the book of Jonah. Thank you for standing as we read God's word. There's something that happens when you posture your body around the word of God. And I want to teach you one more thing before we jump in. There's a liturgical practice that I do every day before I open up the scriptures, and I want you to do it with me. Liturgy is just repeating or practicing sacred things, things that will lead you closer to God. And so I'm going to open up my Bible, and I just want you to repeat after me. Jesus, open up my mind, open up my heart, speak to me. Through your word, I'm yours. Jonah chapter number 1, verse 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. The Bible is amazing because it's not just a story of a people that are far from God and are doing their best to get back to God, but rather a story of a people that have gone far from God and God doing His best to come to them. Today we're talking about the God who pursues. Because God does. And maybe in these first three verses, if we're honest, we can relate to what's happening in Jonah's life. Have you ever ran away from what God is asking you to do? Have you ever heard from God who He wants you to become, or perhaps what He wants you to be a part of, and you're like, nope. Maybe you disqualify yourself for any collection of reasons. Maybe you think that you're not good enough. Maybe you think that you can't do it. For some of us, our next step that will bring us closer to Jesus and stop our running is to sign up for Baptism Sunday on April the 7th. Maybe you're here or watching and you think, I cannot be baptized because I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready. I'm not good enough. I got to get my life together before I make that step. Well, I have good news for you, friends. If you believe that Jesus can live the life that you never and die the death that you should have, you're ready. You're ready to commit to that God, because life with God is better than life itself. And truly, life with God is life, period. Maybe others of us, we've been baptized already. We're following Jesus. We are being with Jesus. We're becoming like Jesus. We're doing what Jesus did. But there's an invitation to go deeper, and that invitation scares you, so then you're backing up. And maybe, like Jonah, going the complete opposite direction. Maybe you know that the kingdom of God is real, but you refuse to believe that you can be a carrier of the kingdom of God. You refuse to believe that you have enough authority to enter a room in the name of Jesus, and that room transforms because of God who goes with you. I want to encourage you today. I'm happy you came to church, because hopefully by the end of our time, you're going to be excited and empowered to move towards the God that moves to you. I don't know if we have much parents here, but you know, like when a parent tells a child, did you hear me? Did you hear me? Maybe they're not asking on the ability to listen. Maybe they're asking about the child's ability to obey. Did you hear me? You know, you open your eyes bigger. Did you hear me? Jonah is somebody that knows God, knows the voice of God, and heard the voice of God. What a gift. Prophet of God. He is somebody that hears God's voice and tells people about it. And we find in our story that he heard God's voice, but did not obey God's instruction. God's like, did you hear me? Can you relate to that this morning? This message, because we love the book of Jonah and the story is so incredibly beautiful, and we immediately think it's for them. It's for the lost folks that need to come home. But I want to encourage us, this message is for us. Jonah is a man of God who obeyed God and heard his voice, and here we see him running away. I can relate to that. Like David said, the series is called The God Who Pursues, and next week we're going to talk about the God who restores. So here's a question. What happens to us when we run the opposite direction of God's instruction? What does God do? Maybe in your mind you're thinking, oh, God will destroy me. God will excommunicate me from his family. God would forget about me. Friends, we serve a God that will do whatever it takes to get us back on track. As a matter of fact, if you think about kings, I love learning about kingdoms and royalty and kings. And what you see in common practice in the courtroom, in the king's court, he's sitting on the throne and nothing is asked of him to go get or to go do. Everything is brought to him. People are brought to him. Things are brought to him. Pursuing anything is beneath the king. But our king is different. Oh, come on. Our God is different. Everyone and everything will be brought to our king, and yet he still chooses to pursue you. I want to show you how he chose to pursue Jonah. Look at verse 4. But the Lord hurled the powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Friends, I'm convinced that God sent a storm not to punish Jonah or to bring pain. I'm convinced that God sent a storm to pursue Jonah. Because here's the thing I want us to start seeing. God's pursuit of us doesn't always look the way we want it to look. Everyone say pursuit. Come on, say pursuit. I don't know about you, but that word isn't like a steady part of my vernacular. I don't practice it regularly in my vocabulary. But I want to tell you about two times when I use that word. The first instance is when I talk about pursuing goals and dreams. A lot of you know, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. I don't want to talk about that, though, right now. So it didn't work out. The second context, though, in which I use the word pursuit is when I was pursuing my now wife in courting and relationship. Now, maybe I am not a Major League Baseball player, but the woman I pursued is my wife of 7 years, and I got two sons. Holla at your boy. Holla at your boy. Here's where I share that. Here's where I share that. Here's the point. When you want something desperately, you pursue it. A sign of desire and even a sign of worship is exposed in what you pursue. I want us to not just think about the word pursuit in light of goals or romantic relationships. I pray that after today, every time you hear pursuit, you think about your God who chose to leave heaven to come after you. I hope that now, every time you hear pursue, you're like, that's a great characteristic of my God. Our God pursues. He doesn't need to. If I'm honest about my life, he probably even shouldn't most of the time, but yet he does. What kind of God is this that will pursue us? Maybe Jonah didn't expect the storm to be how God chased after him, but it worked. Here's point number one if you're a note taker. God's pursuit will do whatever. The pursuit of God will stop at nothing. Nothing can get in his way when he is in pursuit. I'll illustrate this way. Remember when Jesus was talking and teaching his disciples, and he referenced having 100 sheep, and he was the shepherd. And he said that if one of his 100 goes astray, he will leave the 99 and go after the one, put that sheep on his shoulders, and bring it back into the fold. That's radical pursuit. How about this? Remember Moses? When Moses killed a guy, he unlifed someone and then escapes into the wilderness to escape punishment. And as he's hiding and shepherding sheep, God speaks and God pursues. And he does it through a bush that's on fire but not consumed by it. That's bizarre. And not just that, the fire isn't consuming the bush. God's voice is coming from it. That is radical pursuit. I'll give you another one. This guy named Saul, most of us know. Saul is known for killing followers of the way, what we will consider today as Christians. He would go to local synagogues. He would see where followers of the way are gathering, believing in Jesus as Lord, and he will persecute them. And so there's a story where Saul is on his way to Damascus to do just that. And God's pursuit comes through a blinding light, shines on Saul. Saul falls on his back, and a voice from heaven says, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Jesus speaks to Saul, and Saul realizes Jesus is not just a man. Jesus is God. Saul was blinded until Ananias was sent by God to go restore his sight. I bet Saul didn't want to be chased by God by way of removing his vision. Are you there? Maybe you're going through something and you're like, "Emmanuel, this is sweet and I like the words and the wordplay, but you don't get it. This doesn't feel like God's pursuing me. This feels like he's pushing me away." Are you in a storm? Do you feel alone? Do you feel like the sailors felt? Please pray to somebody, anybody, help me. Maybe you're like Jonah and you're sleeping in the bottom of the hold and you're just going with the flow. Jonah wasn't sleeping because he had a lot of faith in this moment. No matter where you are, I want the Holy Spirit to begin to download into you because before we move on, I want to ask this question. Maybe you're in a storm for the sake of your soul. We'll get back to that later, but if I'm honest, I will never be aware of God as if my life was always good. One of my buddies in his song says, "The stars don't shine bright until the darkness comes." Ain't that true? We need storms, and God's pursuit is ever present even in storms. Oh, maybe you perceive it as punishment, but I would argue, even if you are receiving a consequence or a punishment from God, he's there with you in it. So the storm is raging in Jonah's world. He says, "Throw me overboard." But the sailors are like, "We're not throwing you overboard." And look what happens at verse 13. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then the sailors, cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "Oh, Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Can we just have a moment together? You know, as Christians, if we're not careful, we have an us versus them mentality, especially during an election year. Listen. And so If we're not careful, we say it's us against them. Isn't it ironic that the prophet of God was in the boat running from God and the people that are far from God are turning to him? Did you catch that? Sailors that are polytheistic, they have various gods. They don't know Yahweh. They even spoke to him as Jonah's God. He is an unfamiliar deity, and yet they're saying, could it be? And can you please? And the whole time, Jonah is just trying to run away. God will pursue you, and he will do whatever it takes. Even use the people in your life that you think are secular and heathen and far. I love that so much. Because that's my story. It is. God is in hot pursuit of his prophet Jonah. But anyone and everyone can encounter God. I especially like in verse 14 when the sailor said to God, you've sent this storm on Jonah for your own good reasons. Time out. Sailors are on the boat too. They're in the storm too. Have you been in the storm and you're like, God, I'm going through hell, but I'm sure you have a good reason for it. Everything is, no. When I'm in a storm, I'm like, have you forgotten me? Like, I'm desperate. I'm not considering God's reason or God's heart in my season. I'm just considering my circumstances. And yet, the sailors are saying, I'm sure you have a good reason. You did this. They're overcome with a posture of humility, fear, desperation, reverence toward God, and they're supposed to be the distant ones. Here's point number two. God's pursuit will reach whoever. Yeah, think about for a second, who are the distant ones in your world? Maybe it's a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter in your family that is just so far from God right now and wants to be. Do you think that God will reach even them? Look what happens in verse 15. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Family, the sailors experienced the sovereignty of God, and they chose to bring a vow and a sacrifice. Man, I hope that when we gather in beautiful rooms like this, wherever we are, that when we worship God in song, we're not just saying words, but I pray that after today, when we worship God, we are bringing our vow to him. Oh God, I'm sticking with you. God, I vow to serve you. God, today I give you my mind, I give you my heart, kind of like that liturgy. Speak to me. And I pray that we're also bringing our sacrifice. God, it's going to be a sacrifice for me this week to get up early before my kids to seek you, but I'll do it. God, it's going to be a sacrifice for me to open up my Bible a couple times, but God, I will do it. God, it's a sacrifice for me to get out of my anxious bubble and speak to somebody about Easter, but God, I'll do it. I bring my vow. I bring my sacrifice. These sailors, not knowing Yahweh, said, I will bring my vow and I will bring my sacrifice. Incredible what's happening. Consider Gideon. Gideon is in the threshing floor, one of my favorite stories, hiding. His people are really, they're struggling. And God says to Gideon, warrior. And not just that, mighty warrior. God chose to reach Gideon while he was hiding. All you need is 300 soldiers. I got you. We'll get the victory. Incredible. Consider Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus heard about Jesus, but he thought that Jesus never heard about him. And so as he heard that Jesus was coming into his town, Zacchaeus climbs a tree, tries to get a good view of Jesus. Jesus is coming in. The crowd is forming. There's no way that Jesus will come encounter a tax collector that's hated by his own people because he's taking their money, pocketing some, and then paying the Roman government the rest. Zacchaeus is far from God. And yet Jesus beelines straight to that sycamore tree where Zacchaeus was. And Jesus says, come down from that tree. I want to go to your house. And in Zacchaeus' home, he realizes that Jesus offers salvation that he needs. And out of that, after Zacchaeus is reached, he commits to paying back everything he took from his people with interest. Our God can reach whoever. I love the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip in Acts chapter 8. If you don't know it, there's the Ethiopian eunuch reading on a carriage. God speaks to the man of God, Philip, and Philip goes to the carriage, gets closer, and begins to hear someone trying to read from the prophet Isaiah. So he asks him, "Bro, do you know what you're reading?" And Ethiopian eunuch says this, listen to me, he says, "How would I know if no one takes the time to teach me?" Yo, Ethiopian eunuchs are not allowed into synagogue. They are not allowed into the courts. They can't come learn. But the good news is you don't have to come to God. God sends people to you. Philip said, "Okay, I'm gonna obey Holy Spirit," jumps into the carriage with the Ethiopian eunuch and begins to teach him from the prophets. Before they made it too far down the road, on the road to Gaza, by the way, I want to stop there. I didn't do this in first service, but I sensed this strongly. God will reach whoever. So right now, Holy Spirit, we pray, would you reach our brothers and sisters in Gaza right now? Would you reach our brothers and sisters in Israel? God, would you do a work in the Middle East? Would you reach them, please? Because we believe that even though we have our divided hearts and minds, God, you are a unified God, and you came to pursue everybody. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so they're on their way to Gaza, and as they're going, the eunuch says, "There's water there. Can you baptize me?" And Philip baptizes him right then and there. God's pursuit will reach whoever. We just got to get God out of a box that we got him in, don't we? We just got to allow God to be God and be thankful that we're not God. Could it be that this God could reach tax collectors like Zacchaeus, sailors on Jonah's boat in crisis, me, you, and even the distant ones in your world that you think are too far gone? Could it be that God can reach them? So what happens to Jonah? A lot of you know this famous part of the story. Verse number 17. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, every time you see the phrase arranged for, that happens four times in the book of Jonah. If you have eyes to see it, God is talking about, or the book is talking about, a time where God used nature to reach Jonah. This is the first time we see it, and it happens that God sent a fish to reach Jonah. It's amazing that God is sovereign and he could use nature to get to us. Let's keep reading in chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, "I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty seas, the mighty waters were engulfed me, and I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, 'O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple.'" What do we see here? Jonah is offering this psalm-like prayer to God while sitting in the very provision of God. Notice this. Have you got a moment where you woke up early and you're praying to God, and maybe at your kitchen table with a hot cup of coffee, and you're like, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this home you've allowed me to have. Thank you, God, for this coffee. Thank you, God, for breath in my lungs." Maybe it's your car. You're driving to work. Maybe your car needs an oil change. It's squeaky as all get out, but you say, "Thank you, God, that I can get from point A to point B." It's amazing. Your prayer life will change when you realize that you're sitting in the very provision of the God you're praying to. That's what's happening with Jonah. He was thrown overboard. Surely his life was over. And here's the thing. Whether you believe that this is a historical fact or not, maybe you believe this is a story that teaches us a lesson, that's not the point today. The point today is to learn the lessons from here. If you ask me what I believe, based on how Jesus speaks about Jonah, I absolutely believe this actually happened. But here is the point. God's pursuit will be there wherever. God's pursuit is with you at home. As soon as you get there, God's pursuit is on the car drive home, in that person's house you don't like going to, but you have to because they're family. God's pursuit is in church. God's pursuit is in your workplaces. God's pursuit is there. Can you be aware of it? Oh, God is there, and he is not less there just because you're not aware of it. God is here. Thank you, God. Too many of us are trying to, air quote, get to God. How's that going for you? Which way are you running to get to him? The times I've tried my best to crawl my way back in, it feels like the further I was running. A moment away from God is almost like you lost your compass. You start running and you realize I'm running further away. What's your finish line? You know, there was a marathon runner, elite runner, named Senberry Teferi. And in 2022, she ran the Peachtree Road Race in Atlanta, won first place, beast. 2023 comes around, the Peachtree Road Race comes back around, and she says to CBS, I'm gonna go back to back. I got it, I'm in great shape. Race begins from the very beginning. She has the lead of the pack. Y'all, she's 100 meters away from the finish line. And for some reason, she begins running the wrong direction. So she finished the race, but she ended up finishing third instead of first. She blew it. And she was crushed. She lost out in $10,000 of prize money and so many personal goals and pursuits that she set out for. Have you blown it? Maybe you started 2024 and you're like, this is my year. I'm gonna be with Jesus. I'm gonna become like Jesus. I'm gonna do what he did. I'm fired up. And now is March and you're like, wow, I'm far. Bible plan, I'm 2 months behind on that thing. Can we be real or what? I said I was gonna pray every day and every night. I pray once or twice a week. I'm struggling. And because here's how the enemy works, I talk about this every time I preach. The enemy is not a creator, so all he has is the same old scheme, doesn't he? He puts us in a cycle. Once we go the wrong direction, I love Sembri because at least she finished. But for us, we go the wrong direction and we say, I can't run this race anymore. We disqualify ourselves because we actually think that just because we blew it, that God is not pursuing us anymore. We think that because we feel like we can't finish our race, that God won't even consider running after us. It's not true, but this is what the enemy does. Because you think that God is the only one that pursues you? No, the enemy is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. The enemy is pursuing you. And unfortunately, some of us believe that the enemy is chasing after us more than we believe that God is chasing after us too. And today that changes. Come on, say today. Today, that changes. Yeah, today we're gonna realize, oh, that maybe I have a lot of enemies. But what does God do? He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. God is not just pursuing you. God is ahead of you, waiting for you. That's the God that we serve. Yeah, come on, you could give praise in the house of God. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. Have we not considered that perhaps the arms of God have been before us the whole time? There's a singer-songwriter named Jason Upton, and he wrote a song about the story of Jonah from God's perspective. And I'm not a singer, but I want you to hear one line of this song that I'm trusting the Holy Spirit's gonna break down our walls right now. God's perspective in the song, Jason writes, run, run, run away from me. You'll end up running right into me. Run, run, run away from me, and you'll end up running right into me. That is the good news. That you or somebody you know and love could be running in the opposite direction, getting on the boat saying, bye, I'm not going to Nineveh. And God's like, go ahead, run. Because in his omnipresence, his arms are waiting no matter where you turn. You can't escape the love of God. You can't outrun his pursuit. And every single time, God's love will push harder than your resistance. And so, here's the bottom line. The God who pursues is pursuing you. Are you in a storm? We saw what Jonah did during his storm. He was sleeping. I know about a prophet, a greater prophet, that also slept through a storm. Here's the last text for today, Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Jesus woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then he asks, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other, "that even the wind and the waves obey him." At church, Jesus is not just a greater prophet than Jonah. Jesus is God. He's God, and I already made my case. Storms are a part of life, and I would argue storms are a part of God pursuing us. But you're like, "Emmanuel, I'm looking at the wind and the waves, and I don't feel peace. I feel scared." What if for a moment, if you really believe that Jesus is with you, you looked into the eyes of Jesus because he's with you on your boat, and you realized, "Oh, he's sleeping through this storm? Okay, I'll be all right. I'm still scared." But did you see that at the end of our text? The disciples became more terrified at the one who can control the storm. Can we be a people that up our reverence for God, that even if I'm going through a hard circumstance, I'm not going to fret because my God is even greater than my circumstance? Can we be a people that would raise God above our situation and say, "Okay, God, as long as you be with me and pursuing me, come hell or high water, I'll be okay." So, this week, here's what I want us to do. Here's your application. I want you to set 3 reminders on your phone every day for a week. Morning, afternoon, and evening. Maybe you don't want to use your phone. Maybe you want to do it in community with your small group, and y'all just text each other at a certain time. I don't even care when or what time you do it. I don't think that's God's heart either. But here's what's important. I want us to commit as a church to stop letting days and hours and minutes go by and we're unaware of God's pursuit. So in that reminder, once it pops on your phone at 8 a.m., for example, I want you to center yourself maybe with a deep breath. And maybe you have running kids, or maybe you're at work, at the office, maybe you're in your vehicle. You don't have a lot of time, but just simply in your own words, "God, thank you for pursuing me. I'm aware of you." I'm telling you, church, if we do things like this, like liturgies, "I gotta give you my mind, my heart, I'm yours," we begin to have eyes for the supernatural, and watch this, ears to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. God has never stopped speaking. God has never stopped pursuing. We just haven't been paying attention. So we're going to pay attention this week. Can we commit to doing that? Yeah. So I think the best next thing to do now is to pray. So let's pray together. In a moment of concentration and awareness, close your eyes, or maybe you keep your eyes open and center your gaze on something in the room that will allow you to have eyes for the one who has eyes for you. Thank you, God. Yeah, Jesus, thank you that you're here. God, we pray that your pursuit of us will be obvious to us. God, we don't want to miss it anymore. Yeah, we don't want you to speak to us and us not listen. We don't want you to be right in our face and us be blinded to it. Oh God, please, would you speak and help us be aware. God, sometimes I pray, I quiet my mind or I quiet my heart. And Lord, if I'm honest, sometimes we can't do that on our own. So Lord, would you quiet our mind? Would you quiet our hearts? Father, we spoke about that question earlier. What if you sent a storm for the sake of our soul? God, would you be with us? Yeah, right now, even as we are with you, would we sense you with us? And would we get desperate for this? Will we become God chasers? Yeah, because when one thing chases after another thing that's already chasing that one thing, then we just see like a holy collision. And that's what I want for your sons and daughters. Would they chase after you the way you chase after them? And would we just collide in holiness? Yeah, we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.